Another year has come and gone. Are you wondering what the future holds? Are you struggling with the decision about love, money, your career, your family? StarPsychics.com, that stars with a Z, has the answers you desire. StarPsychics.com is the best and brightest advisor site on the internet, staffed by top-rated, professional, fully tested, and certified advisors. This is the real deal. At StarPsychics.com, you create your own personal account, and you pick your advisor by reading their extensive bios. Then you decide on a budget that you are comfortable with. Your pathway to a clearer and brighter future is just a few clicks away. No gimmicks, no bait and switch. StarPsychics.com has daily blogs and lots of links to help you develop your own intuition. Log on now. That's StarPsychics.com. Remember, stars with a Z. And here's the best part. They're available 24/7. StarPsychics.com. Remember, stars with a Z. You must be 18 years or older. Your future awaits.
Hello, everybody. This is Natalie, also known as Starcast, and I see my guest has just logged in, so we'll be bringing her on in a few minutes. But first and foremost, I want to tell you the new issue of the magazine will be up on July the 1st, so I'm accepting anything right now until the 29th. I'll be able to insert it. All it has to be, it can be an article, it can be poetry, it can be... It doesn't have to be metaphysical. You know, I had something about golf a couple months ago, and people are writing about all kinds of good things, lots of good topics coming in, which I really love, that will help to support you. And you're going to read this and the things that are there, and you're going to think, wow, I get it now. So that's what I like. I like to get information, and I get stuff from the authors, the publicists, the publishing houses, all over. I have been sending out reminders to those who submit all the time, and so it looks like a nice issue coming together. So that's that. Now the next issue of business is StarPsychics.com, which everybody knows about, that I've had since 1999. I am in the process of getting the trademark. Papers are being filed, so look out. And I also have my Stars Psychics tarot cards that I will be selling on the site. You'll see them everywhere, Etsy, eBay, Amazon, everywhere. They'll be everywhere. They're beautiful. They're very beautiful cards. I'm real pleased with them. They're soft colors, feel-good cards. You know, like, for example, the card of death. You should know how that is. That's like this man dressed in black with a lantern walking in the snow with his head down. That's not uplifting. So when I talked to the artist, we worked together, and I told her, I don't want doom and gloom. I want everybody to feel good when they look at the cards, if they want to read them or whatever they do, or just keep them as a deck. I think they're going to be accepted very well. A lot of spirit, a lot of me is in them, really, because I worked with the color schemes for a really long time until I would let them go. That was 2 years ago. So I'm excited about that. We'll be doing that. I still have a special on the site, 10 minutes for $10. I'll probably be taking it down soon. That's for first-time clients. I think the world is in a dire straits right now, so even that is not luring them, and that's okay. I get it. I understand. So, all you do, you just hang in tight, hold on to your beliefs, don't let them go. I mean, no matter if you're a reader and you're working on another platform, it doesn't matter. Things will change. Things will come around. It won't be like it was back in 2019 when the sky was the limit, I don't think, for a long time. But nonetheless, we're still standing where you're walking and talking. And look outside, it's a beautiful world. So without further ado, I mean, I know those are famous words, but anyways, I'm going to bring in my guest. She is an author, and she's done a book called Ritual as Remedy, Embodied Practices of Soul Care. We all need soul care, believe it or not. Don't ever sell your soul. That's what you are. That's who you are. And so without, waiting too much longer, I know she's waiting to get on and talk to me. Let me bring in Mara Branscombe, I think that's right. Hi, Mara, how are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm good. Did I pronounce your last name right, or did I mess it up?
You got it, Mara Branscombe.
Branscombe.
Yes.
Okay, awesome. Anyways, welcome. I'm so happy to have you on the show. You know, your publicist and I are old friends, Gail. She sends me so many people, and she knows what I'm about, and you're right in line with that. You're right in line with it. I have your website up. But what I'd like to do is to start off with how Mara began. I mean, were you writing as a girl in high school? How did this begin for you? I mean, everybody has a story, right? No matter what it is, if you kind of like fell over this big rock and, oh, hit your head, and, oh, now I know what I have to do, it doesn't matter. But I want to know how Mara got started. So give us a rundown.
Okay, thank you. You know, I think I've always loved writing, putting words together, and you know, it wasn't something that I said I'm going to be an author. That actually wasn't. I'm a teacher, but we are many things, and we evolve throughout our lifetime. And really, I started writing. You know, I took an undergraduate in world religion and cultural history and women's studies. So there's a lot of papers to write when you're studying that kind of work. And so I just loved putting those essays together on spirituality and religion, really from the early days. And then, you know, the teaching, the work has evolved. And 3 years ago, I received a very powerful message, an intuitive message, that came in a photographic snapshot, and I was holding the book, in fact. And so I said, okay, now I must write this book. And so that's really how it came to be.
And it's so interesting because, you see, you know, there is such a movement going on right now. I mean, this is my, 253rd show, something like that, near 300. And I look back sometimes when I think of the people that I had on, but well, all except for one, I have to say, was not super, super spiritual. It was a man. He was a director out in California, out in Los Angeles. But I guess he was in a way, but not like what I've seen. I mean, you know, you're part of the movement, and so am I. I mean, that's why I love doing what I do, because I can bring people to you and out, you bring you out, and let them know who you are. Otherwise, they may not know. And I love doing that. But don't you see that there's a big movement going on? I mean, I get all of these people that want to come on my show, and I sit back in my chair and I think, wow. I mean, there's nobody out there in left field like a musician who wants to be on my show, unless they're spiritual. I mean, I've had some of them. I've had some singers that have been very spiritual. But it's a wonderful thing when you think about it, because that movement, that all of that is powerful. People don't realize
it. It is powerful. Yeah.
You don't. Yeah. You know, I stand firm in what I do. I didn't start out. I was always a spiritual little girl. I mean, I always was. I believed in God and Jesus and all of that. But what I'm doing right now, I mean, it just grew. Well, I almost died when I was 32, and at that moment in time, when I had this visitation, it set me on a path. But it still took a few years. You know, we don't always wake up and say, oh, okay, I'm going to write a book. And you write the book and it's printed. It doesn't always work like that. Probably took you a while to write this book, right?
Yes, it did. But it's not that often, for me anyway, that I get those very clear flashes or signs of a direct call to action. And this was one of them. And for me, it was, there was no way I wasn't going to write the book, because the message, the download, the visitation was so powerful and crystal clear. It was crystal clear.
That's awesome. I never got the only thing in my visitation was a crystal when I was really ill. I was actually dying when I was really ill, came to my room. Mm-hmm. And my whole room lit up the color of the crystal, which was a golden yellow, which we knew was probably very much for healing. But I was awakened to see it. So I knew that it was important. I think it just solidified something for me that I would carry many years down the road and really wouldn't know what it was all about. And now I'm understanding, but nobody has ever told me exactly what it was. But I don't think anybody can. Like for you. You're the one that's getting the message. You're the one that's supposed to interpret it and know what you need to do. That's all it did. But it gave me strength and energy, and it healed me. And we don't know how. We don't know how. But obviously there was a purpose in it. So, okay, so have you written anything else before? This is your first book?
This is my first book. And actually, I started writing articles for Publish about maybe 8 years ago after my second daughter was born. And, you know, I've spent 20 years teaching yoga and meditation, and I'm a dance artist. And so, you know, the practices and the discipline of these mind-body practices, you can start to write about them to share them with other people. You know what I mean? So that's what companies and would call to me and say, oh, would you write an article on this, or would you write an article on that? And so I found that really inspiring, that, you know, the work of 20 years then culminated to being asked to write about some practices of yoga and meditation and artistry. And so I started to practice. I always think that the universe, or, you know, whatever you call that, the energy of our world, sends us signs and symbols and messages. Yes. And I feel like I was being handed those messages to practice writing so that then I could write this book.
Well, I'm sure I'll be contacting Gail to have you do something for the July issue, because once I have an author on, I like to promote them in the next issue, because it's good for you, because the link to the show will be in it also. But, well, you know, some people can write, some people can't. I'm just kind of, I don't know, I guess I direct. I don't know what I do. I don't know. But I can tell you I love it, and I know it's my calling. I have a fairy tale that I've started. It's really a beautiful story. I guess maybe one day I'll finish that. But nonetheless, listening to people who have actually penned a book, pen the whole thing, you know, and here it is. It's an actuality for you. You must have been thrilled. Now, when did this book come out?
This book came out June 7th, in fact, so only 2 weeks ago.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. Then we've got you right on the rise. Okay, well, hopefully we'll bring you up. Now, you have a site, and I'm gonna tell everybody this right now in the beginning of the show, and then we'll do it again in the end. It's www.marabrancombe.com. But she's also got another one that's, if you click on that site, you'll see book. It's called ritualsremedy.com. She's got that link as well. And, you know, I'm looking at this cover, and I see that circle with the flowers. How beautiful, how refreshing, how inspiring. Covers are important to me. First of all, if they don't feel good and they don't look good, I'm not going to pick them up. I never do that. But I'm so fortunate that I usually get all the books from the authors that I interview or talk. These are talk shows. It's not really a Q&A. I mean, I don't sit here with a list of questions and say, well, I've got to ask Mara this and that. No, we just kind of talk, because I think it's better for the author to reveal a little bit more about themselves than this, why did you do this and why did you do that? But this book cover, did you have anything to do with it?
Oh, yes, everything, yes. It's quite a process to, so I work with alongside the publisher, and I have an artist that I collaborate with, and so she designed the cover. My husband actually took the picture, and inside the book you'll see also all these lovely etchings and illustration, like these black and white etchings.
Oh.
And the artist also is, you know, that I work with, her name is Laura Mowbray, and she's just incredible. So she works with the publisher directly. First she works with me, then she takes her work to the publisher. And so it's quite a beautiful collaboration.
Really, and look at the finish. Now, when you actually saw this printed, I mean, you must have been soaring so high to think, I did it. I did this. This is finally here. That had to have been so fulfilling to you. Had to be.
And
those around you who are close friends, family, your husband, because they know this is so precious. To me, that's what I'm getting from you, is you're just very precious. You're soft. You have this great light within you. And, you know, it's a wonderful thing to feel when I talk to people. Like I told you, the only one person I didn't feel this with was this gentleman who thought he was all that in a bag of chips, I think. Him and I, we didn't cross, we didn't duel or anything, but I just knew that he wasn't getting from my talk with him that he wanted. And I don't know, I let him talk the whole hour. I don't know what he wanted, but that was the only disappointment. And you know what, Mara? That almost stopped me from doing other shows. And that was way back 2 years ago. And then I talked to some people and I said, you know, is it me? No, it's not you. You know, it's not me. It's the person themselves. Sometimes we're all looking for a certain something. But you see, that was the only disappointment I have ever had with anybody on my show. And I've done, like I said, close to 300 of them. And I think I know what I'm doing. But, okay, so let's get into this beautiful book. Now, it's Practices for Soul Care, okay? But how what do you actually show rituals? Is there a ritual to take care of your soul care? What is the book exactly about? Give us kind of a synopsis.
Good question. I will.
I'm being a novice at this because obviously I haven't written anything. So, and I've asked this many times, so I know it always works.
Yeah, no, it's a great question, and I'll just give you a quick overview of this. So each chapter is based on an element. So I work with the five elements, earth, air, fire, water, and ether, as a way to ground into nature, nature-based spirituality. So nature is my church, I would say. And each chapter also reflects on an energy center in the body, so the energy centers or the chakra system. And if the listener doesn't know what that is, it doesn't matter. So basically we work with, you know, the element of earth is how we stay grounded and connected every day on the earth and how we work on releasing fear. And so a whole chapter would be on, for example, the element of earth and how we can look at our daily life and see, you know, I always see what's working and what's not, right?
Oh, so, I got a story for you. You're going to love this. Go ahead. Yes, go ahead. Yes,
clean up our personal life, how we are, you know, communicating with others, you know, what's from our past, what's our past story, and how we can evolve. And then at the end of each chapter are actual rituals or soul care. And I call it soul care because this soul care is different than going to get a pedicure, manicure, or a massage. All of that is good and important. But soul care is when we do things for ourselves and we activate. Right. So we go out into nature. And we take a walk in the park and we leave our phone at home and we say, I am here and I am receiving and I am grateful. And, you know, let's bring up the vibration personally.
It works.
And myself.
It works. And I'm going to tell you, yesterday I had a rough day because I'm dealing with the printing of my cards and the trademark thing is going great. It's just, that's awesome. I have great care with that. But it was stressful yesterday because I had some issues that I had to resolve, not with my attorney. But anyway, so I was stressed all day. I mean, stressed. And I went outside. I have two pair of mallards that come and feed, and I have four squirrels. They are always during the day. I always, you know, I'll see the ducks come out, and they're looking for me. They're sticking their heads way up, and mallards, you know, these are the females. So they're the pretty, they're the not so pretty ones. The males are the real beautiful ones, but these are beautiful. So I see them, and I'll say to my cat, I gotta go give them breakfast now. So I'll go out there, and I stand there, and they come to me, and I put their food out for them. And it's the most beautiful experience to start my day. But at night, now last night, this is what I do. I have 8-9 deer that I feed at night off my porch. And this is nature. I don't capture, you know, I've taken some videos of them, but I don't try to pet them. I talk to them. I call them my girls, although now I have two males, so I can't say that. There's two males there. And what I do is I have three big bowls. I put special food for them so they grow, like if they're going to have antlers, they grow really good and strong bodies, okay? Then I give them, and it's got a mix of corn in it. Then I cut up carrots and apples. I don't peel the apples. People laugh at me. Do you peel the apples? No, I don't do that. I cut them up, and when I'm cutting them, I hear my camera makes a sound, so I know there's motion out there. And I'll just say, Mushy, it's dinner time. Can you hear it? And he's sitting in my door wall watching them, okay? I turn the porch light on and the outside light on because I'm in South Carolina, so we do have alligators and we do have snakes and that kind of thing, so I have to be careful where I'm stepping. And this gives me a lot of light, and I'm not afraid. So I stand out there, and there they are. They're watching, and they're waiting for me. And as soon as I see this beautiful creature, Mara, my cares are all gone. I'm on the earth. I'm smelling the air. I'm saying to them, gee, it's a beautiful night tonight because it gets hot here. And I said, it's not so bad tonight, you know, and I talk gently to them. But when I do that, that's the highlight of my day. I mean, I don't have a husband. I don't have a significant other. But so that is my highlight of my day. And I feel always, even if I'm upset about something, and we all get upset about something, it's not going right, but you have to pull yourself back in again. And to me, that's my soul doing this. Pull it back in. Okay, this is all going to be taken care of. Don't worry. Give it to the divine. Because if you can't do anything about it, there's nothing you can do about it. So you have to leave it to the universe, God, Jesus, whatever you call your higher power. It doesn't matter to me. I don't care what you believe in. Just believe in something. And I'm going to tell you that I come in and I'm feeling so good because of what I just did for these beautiful animals. And, you know, that's part of what you're saying. You know, you got to get to nature. You got to appreciate the earth. You got to appreciate everything around you. I'm in a beautiful place. It's subtropical. It's not tropical like Florida. But it gets really hot here. But I don't care. I'm originally from Michigan. I love it here. I wouldn't go back to Michigan. I don't care for what. I would not. My family's here, so it's wonderful. But that's part of what you're saying. That is taking care of your soul when you're absorbing all of this, and you know it's going to make you feel really good. You know, and I'll look at my cat. His name is Mushy, and he's the boss of the house. But anyways, I'll say, Mushy, how was that? Doesn't that make you feel good looking at them? And he sits there. He doesn't hiss. He doesn't do anything. He just sits there and watches. So, you know, kudos to you that you actually wrote about, you know, taking care of a remedy for your soul. I feel that that's my remedy right there. I feel that it doesn't get any better than that. I think, but we're not all fortunate enough, maybe, and you'll feel this way, to recognize you can do something. You know, don't just sit in doom and gloom. Come on, if you're healthy, and I don't care about the wealthy, healthy and walking and breathing and all of that, you're in good shape. It's a beautiful world. It really, really is. And so, you know, that's me. That's what I talk about and deal with. But it is in line with what you do. It is in line with your book.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think you made a really good point there. So, okay, so you had a tough day. We all have tough days. And so what did you do? You know, you actually gave. You went inside yourself and you fed the animals, and that transformed the energy in you because you were giving. And I think that, you know, in this very fast-paced technological world, people get so in their own bubble and in their own ego and tripped up on their own emotions, and they don't then extend to others or reach out to others in a way that is, you know, balancing. And so this book, I feel, it's for the collective. I had also received a very strong message. I was, you know, like I said, I received that message where I was holding a book. And then as I was writing it, and then as the process, you know, continued, it was in the heat of the pandemic there. And the messages kept coming through. This is for the collective, for the collective. And by that, I mean, this is for everyone. And I had to step outside of my own ego, and I had to really work hard to, like, this book is not about me. And I write it often in the we, you know, it's inclusive. Like I wanted to feel that everyone was in the room together and we're doing this work together for the betterment of humanity and the planet.
Yep, exactly. And you know, so we all have a story like that. I hope so. I see these things. I see these posts from people that even not willing to help people. And I was in that situation one time. But I got up and kept walking, and I took care of my husband who had Alzheimer's. Now that was not fun. That was just not fun. I kept him home, see, and my choice, but I did what I had to do. So it's okay. It's all good. But what makes me really sad is there are so many people that could do so many things, and they choose not to. And it's all about the money. Well, what am I going to get paid for? How much are you going to give me? Give me. Well, you see what's happened to the world right now, especially the United States. It's not about that now. It's changed. You have to adjust. I was talking to my friend about carpooling. I said, well, more people need to carpool if gas is so high right now. She said, yeah, you can't take a bus. I'm in a rural area. I said, there are no buses. I was in Detroit. It was great. All kinds of buses. I took buses downtown to downtown Detroit. That was great then, but they don't have them now, not here anyways. So people are kind of stuck. And I said, but you could really gather, you know, get a couple of people, help share in the gas. You know, you drop this one off, drop that one off, and it's for the greater good. You're all getting to where you have to be. I don't get it. You probably don't get it either. You probably shake your head and say, boy, they're really missing the boat, aren't they? So I don't know. I'm just... I didn't get the book from Gail, but I'm certainly going to get the book from her. But I just love it. What I love is just looking at the cover because it's so beautiful. It really, really is. So now, I'm sure you wrote like a foreword in it, right? What did you? I always like to read those. I always like to see what the author has to say. What was yours about? Because I don't have the book in front of me. I mean, did you dedicate it to someone or somebody's, or what did you do?
I did, yes. Well, I dedicated the book to my daughters. I have my daughter, my 11-year-old is Dessa Rose, and my 8-year-old is
Phoenix.
Oh,
what a beautiful name. Oh,
thank you. And I say this to them, and I'll read it just so people can kind of get an idea also
yes,
what the book
please.
Is about, because the book is about empowerment. And I want my daughters to, be raised in an empowering way. So it says, may you bravely dance with the light and the darkness in all of life's adventures. May your loving heart be free. And may you trust that this precious life is yours to create. Anything is possible. So that's the dedication to my daughters. And then, the foreword is really about the impulse to write the book, like, the past 28 years of all of my trainings and experiences and studies and how it has moved me to want to, write the book and guide others in this way. And so it talks about, a little bit about my background and the ideas and it sets the reader up for what to expect also in the book.
Which is important. The beginning part is so very important. So did you come from a large family? What was family like for you? I mean, your parents, were they spiritual? Tell us a little bit of background on your younger days.
Sure. I'm the fourth child, and I was raised in a non-religious household. I think I went to Sunday school twice. And but the one thing that, middle class, conservative family. My mom's side were farmers, and my dad's side came over from the UK. So I'm English, Irish, and Scottish. And I had an amazing childhood because they loved nature. And so we had a little cabin that we would go to every summer, and it really transformed me. And I followed that path of nature, and I feel like it was the greatest gift that my parents could have given me, is that connection to, you know, a tiny, humble cabin on a lake. And, you know, we don't all have those experiences, I know, but this was such a humble experience, and it was not fancy. And, you know, my parents worked really hard to give, to provide for us. And so, yes, I followed the path of nature, you know, for the rest of my life because of that.
Yeah.
And then I found spirituality in nature.
Well, you know, and it's really, I'm thinking about when I was a little girl, I was alone a lot. I was an only child. And, I mean, I was close to my dad in a sense because he transferred his love of airplanes to me, so I've always wanted to fly. But he would take me to the airport, and I think that helped me. I mean, I walked around like I owned the place. It was called Detroit City Airport. And I walked around like, you know, I was this little eight-year-old girl, this cute little thing, and, you know, they all smiled, and it was all men. I mean, they were all men there, you know, but huh, that didn't scare me. And it scared my father because he was worried. He says, "We're going to get arrested. You're just walking everywhere." I said, "Is they're going to arrest an eight-year-old? Come on, Dad. There's three newspapers here in Detroit. I don't think I'm going to get arrested." But that was part of it for me. Other than that, I didn't have that parental. I missed something somehow. And I spent a lot of time listening to my radio, reading, and sitting outside thinking, maybe imagery, maybe, I don't even know, you know. But I was a really sweet little girl. I didn't, you would think that I would have been a monster because I didn't get what, like, maybe even you did. You know, I didn't know my grandparents. It was kind of a strange childhood. But I grew up okay, you know. I don't know.
We work with what we get. Yeah, we work with what we have, you know, and it builds us. And then,
yes, it
you
did.
Know,
and, you know, I don't resent my parents for it. I mean, they were, she was the oldest of 10. So she was out to make a name for herself. She wanted to make money, and she did. She was really good at what she did. And my dad could fix anything. So, you know, I would follow my dad around a lot. I learned a lot from him. I learned a lot by taking things apart, because he said, if I can take this apart and fix it, I can put it back together and it's going to work. And I, whenever he fixed washing machines and dryers in the neighborhood, whatever he did for somebody, I followed him as much as I could. And I learned from him. I learned a lot from him. But I wasn't upset growing up at all. I think it was just my path. I had to find it on my own way, I think. I think that's what it was. I'm just discovering this right now about this and talking to you. And I don't resent them. I don't resent any of that. I mean, I should be a nasty woman. I really should, because I lacked a lot. But that was not my path. My path has never been like that. I mean, I have a side to me that, be careful. I hardly ever have to use it. And I don't ever want to use it, because we all have a side like that. I'm protecting my granddaughter. I have a granddaughter who just graduated from high school. She's going to an art and design school right not far from me in Savannah. And so I'm very protective of her. My son is beautiful. So you see, I was given some wonderful things as I got older. My son, for one thing. I mean, I always say to him, if I could find a man like you, man, I'd have it made. It's true. I mean, he has his failings, but nonetheless. But I think growing up is important, and it's bad for a lot of kids that they just really don't reflect, maybe. They don't do what I did, and they become total monsters. They have no respect for anything, and I have the greatest respect for everything. So somewhere along the way, and for you too, but you had influence, and I had influence too. It was the kind you couldn't see. I always knew that. And I think if we're lucky, and you and I have been fortunate, you know, we're given all of these beautiful things, but we have to know how to straighten ourselves out when we fall off the path. Like, if I have a stressful day, I don't get mad. Go outside. Just go outside and appreciate. Smell the air. Look at the flowers, the hummingbirds, blue jays, cardinals. I have everything here. Bunnies, the possums, you know. Yeah. It's just, it's such a beautiful world. And I think, but what you writing this book, you see it that way too, or you couldn't have written this book this way at all.
You know, and what I like to say is what you feed grows. Okay, so that very simple line, I hope that your listeners can receive, and I try to receive it every day. What I feed grows. So what I'm thinking about grows. What I'm saying grows. Mm-hmm. How I'm taking care of myself or not then grows. So that if I'm constantly dwelling in the negative space, then that's what my reality will be. So we have, this book is around, you know, encouraging and empowering the reader to clean up their thinking and to clean up how they're speaking and how, you know, so that we can, because what happens, we become more joyous, we become more peaceful, we exude that energy to others, and we inspire
right
and
we're
become
more
part
loving.
Of part of this
yeah
and more
yeah
loving.
We're open to some beautiful things. You know, you have to you know, people say, well, treat others like you want to be treated. Yes, that's true, but you have to go even further than that. It has to come from within. I mean, people know, I know, you know, and you don't have to be the super spiritual person either. And what is spiritual anyways? It's a belief system. You have to believe. If you don't believe, step back and listen to Mara and me, because you need to believe. That's the first step. If you don't believe, you're going to have trouble. You're going to have trouble creating what you want to receive. Because you figure, well, it's not going to happen. Why should I think about it? It's not going to happen. Why not? Why not? It can happen. It can, you know. And I'm sure that's how you are. I'm just sure of it. And I have never met you, but I just know. I just know. Now, how old are your kids? One is 8, right?
8 and 11, yes.
Okay. Oh, nice ages. Nice ages. Mm-hmm. So what do they think of Mom and her book?
Oh, they've been very patient with me. You know, it's how much it takes to author a book. And I teach a lot. But, you know, I give them everything other than my career. Like, I wake up really early, 5 a.m., and I do all my writing and my work. And so I'm really there to greet them. I think that they want to be writers too, they say, and they're reading the book. It's so beautiful. My girls have been doing ritual with me since they were born, since they were in the womb. I let them be part of everything that I do, and but I give them the choice, so I never push anything on them. And we have a lot of fun together, and we're silly, and they love nature and playful, and it's a true honor to be a mother, and I take this as like my number one job. So
yep.
It's just beautiful, and they love it, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't change when they get older either. Once a mother, you're always a mother. There's, and that's how I am, always. I'm always there for him, as long as I can be, you know.
Yes.
I think that's important because they're a reflection of you and your husband. Now, what does he do?
Absolutely. So my husband is in marketing in the bicycle industry. So he's got a wonderful, awesome job. Yes. And
bicycles,
he's been very, very supportive.
I love my bicycles. I can remember my little two-wheeler, and then I got a bigger bike, you know. And I remember, you have to tell him the story, I remember learning how to ride my little two-wheel bike without training wheels now. My dad had the hold of my seat. We were going down the sidewalk, and I said, "You got me, right?" No, it wasn't my mother, it was my father, right? Got me? Yep, gotcha. Don't worry. Well, he didn't have me. He had let go. And there I am, riding down the sidewalk. So what did I do?
Oh, yes.
My girlfriend that lived across the street didn't know how to ride yet. So I said, I'll help you. So she gets on her bike. We were both two little kids, you know, we were not very old. She gets on her bike, and she says, "Now, what are we going to do?" I said, "Put your legs on pedals, yes, escape me. Put your feet on the pedals and start pedaling, start turning." "Are you sure?" I said, "I'm sure." Well, I had her one hand on the seat, like my dad did, And we're walking, and she seemed to be going a little faster. And I'm thinking, I remember thinking to myself, God, I'm going to be running down the street here. And I let her go. And there she went. And she stopped. She said, well, I thought you were going to hold me up. I said, I did. But you were ready to fly all on your own. I told her that. And that she's the only one that I ever helped learn how to ride. And but that's an experience that I will forever remember. I was reminded of it. Are you talking about, you know, you take steps, you learn, you know. I was giving even when I was a little kid. That's how I was, you know, and I'm still like that. I thrive in what can I do for somebody today? And I know it sounds like, I'm not a martyr. I don't get paid for it. I get paid in other ways. That's how I feel. I get paid in other ways. So, yeah. So are you, back to your book, are you doing a lot of radio shows, podcasts, or what are you doing? Are you going to bookstores? How are you promoting your book? This is for aspiring writers that are out there. I want them to know what you have to do when you write a book.
Yes, it is. I've done probably 30 to 40 shows, I would say, in the last 2 weeks.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, no, it's been a lot. No, I'd say a month, because we did a big push for pre-sales. So pre-sales were really pushed for 3 months before the book actually came out. So I've been doing a lot of Instagram Live, so people can follow me on Instagram, just my name, Mara Branscombe. And I've also been doing a lot of articles. So I've written a number of articles for some magazines that are for print and online that are coming out. And so, yeah, it's been wonderful, and I feel very supported. And it's been great to
a sweet lady. Yeah, you're very sweet, you know. And my magazine, Mystic Living Today, has been out since 1999. It's long-termer, been around a long time. And I get, and I have I have a great following. I have authors just continually write for it every month, always. And I do it all myself. And I take pride in that, you know. Cause so the final day before it goes live, which is on the first of the month, I'm like, don't bother me, don't talk to me. No, I just, you know, I'm glued. I have three monitors, and I'm glued to them because I have to create and do the links. I have to make the images right and placement and all. And I love doing it. But what I want to do now is make it be a flip magazine, so it actually looks like a magazine. And I have it in the works. It's just I can only do so many things. I'm only one person. I have people that do work for me, yes, but they can't do this part. I have to do it. And you know, I mean, there are certain things people can do for you. You know, they can help to promote you and all of that, but the actual background work and all that, you have to do it. You make the decisions, and we know they're going to be right ones, you know. Tell me something, your name, your first name, Mara. Who are you named after?
I am named after both my great-grandmothers, and they are, I was born right on my great-grandmother, Mara Margaret. Her last name was, she was a Branscombe, and Catherine was a Mackenzie. So the Branscombes are from England, and the Mackenzies are from Scotland, and we have other of our ancestry from Ireland. So I was born right on my grandmother's birthday, in fact.
Oh.
So then I received her name.
Awesome. Awesome. You had a great childhood. You know, I envy you in a nice way.
And it was great. And I was, as the youngest child, I was left alone also a lot. I was babysitting myself at, you know, like 8 years old.
Yep.
And, just go home.
They didn't
and
have
go home
key
later.
And all that kind of stuff. Yeah,
make your
just
own
go home and lock the door. Right,
yeah. Yeah, so it was wonderful. And I think I grew up really quickly because I needed to keep up with everyone. I needed to keep up with all my older siblings. It was wonderful, and I'm very blessed. And
I had two girlfriends well, two girlfriends, but oftentimes I would see the one walk by my house because the living room was in the front, and she walk in front of my house, and she'd go across the street and get the other girlfriend. She wouldn't stop for me. I had somebody ask me, the lady that I did the show with in the very beginning, and who passed on. She said, "Well, how did you feel? What did you do?" She said, "You must have cried." I said, "No, I didn't cry." I said, "I picked myself up. I probably turned the radio on. I had some, you know, nice things that I could watch on TV. It was like summertime, I'm talking. And, of course, on Saturdays, my dad would take me to the airport, so it didn't matter what they thought. I knew what I was doing. And I, she said, "Well, why didn't you get upset?" I said, "I don't know. I just decided I had things that I could do. Maybe that I didn't really need them." She always said to me, "You see, that's unreal about you." And I said, "Well, it was me, you know. I was the keeper of the neighborhood also. I made sure everything went nice and smooth, and I was the littlest. And, you know, I'm going to tell you this story because you're going to remember this. I got hit in the head with a rock by this boy. We were all playing together, having a good time. You know, Cowboys and Indians or whatever we were doing, right? All little kids, 8 years old. So he hit me on the side of the head, and I started to bleed, and then he made the mistake of taking off on his bike down the street. Well, I went after him, and I told my friends I'll be back. So I had to pass my house as he was barreling down to the beginning of the street, but he forgot that there was a dirt road between the beginning of the street, the gas station, and the house. So there were all kinds of stones everywhere, right? So I took off after him, and my mother's friend said, "It's time to have dinner." I said, "Just tell her I'll be back." So I caught him at the end. He slid off his bike because he forgot that there were stones, and it's easy to fall off a bike when you're not even paying attention, and they'll tip you right over. Well, it tipped him over. And he got up, and I punched him in the face. And he said, "Well, what did you do that for?" I says, "Because I want to make sure you don't ever do that again." And he said to me, "Well, you could have broke my nose." I said, "Oh, come on. I didn't break your nose." And he was bigger than me, Mara. And I said, "But what I want you to do is I want you to go tell all your little friends." I was tough, hard as nails. "Tell all your little friends that everybody will get along in this neighborhood." We had a big, huge neighborhood with a lot of kids. It was a time when all the kids were about the same age growing up, right? So, you know, if you didn't hang out with this one, you could hang out with that one. I mean, there was always somebody, lots of kids. And I said, "You think you can do that?" He said, "Well, what if I don't do that?" I said, "You don't want to know what will happen if you don't do that." I mean, I was really, you would have thought I was 35 years old. And he knew I meant business. And I said, "So go tell your friends. We're going to all get along. We're going to have a good time, a good summer. And I don't want to see any fighting." Well, he had this look on his face like, "Oh, my God, she's serious." He picked up his bike, got on, went down. We never had a fight in the neighborhood at all, ever. We all got along. So I think I set a precedent when I did that. And the only reason I did that is because he hurt me. And I didn't want him going around hurting other kids. You know, that's wrong. That is wrong. Mm-hmm. And, of course, my dad gave me a big hug, and my mother kind of just looked at me like, "Oh, well, oh, dear." You know, I mean, she was not like me. I was more tomboyish, I guess. She was not like me at all, or I was not like her. But I tell people that because sometimes you can set something in motion. You can show people what they're made of. And change something, no matter what age you are. I was just a little kid. Where that came from, I have no clue. And I remembered it forever. They remembered it forever, too, because they didn't want to get hit in the face. I mean, you know, what could I do? I was 8 years old, you know. He didn't fall over or anything like that. I just bopped him one. And I carry that story with me, and I like to tell people that because you have an influence even at 8 years old. That's why your kids, your little girls, mm-hmm. are so fortunate to have you and your husband as parents, because you are showing them the right way, that it's a beautiful world out there. It's, you can learn, you can help, and nobody owes you anything. You don't have to, oh, I'm not going to do this because you're not going to pay me. No, you can be such a beautiful soul, Mara. You really can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you. It's been nice chatting with you.
Yes.
About the book. And,
yes.
Yeah,
now I
want
to tell everybody
you.
To go
thank
back
you
to your site
now.
Oh, my pleasure.
Okay.
Let's go back here. I want to have everybody go back. It is. I'm looking at your picture. What a pretty lady you are. Pretty lady. All right, it is Mara, MaraBranscombe.com. Go there, and I know her book is on Amazon, and I'll put a bookmark in my bookstore for your book. And I can't wait to read this. I'm going to really enjoy in anticipation because you're such a beautiful soul. You're a beautiful soul yourself.
Thank you.
And so that's why you could write like you did, right? So anyway,
it's for everyone, not for me, for everyone. So thank you so much for having me on this show.
Well,
and I really
I'm so honored
it.
That you chose to say yes. And I will have Gail contact you so that we can get something from the book, either an excerpt or any article that you got laying on your shelf that we can put in there so we can still promote you for the next couple of months. Mm-hmm. I would like to do that for you.
Sounds great. Thank you so much.
Okay. You have an awesome day. And
okay,
everybody,
you
know how I am. And, yeah, I always end the show the same way. Mara, you're going to like this. Believe in things you cannot see. They really are there. And with that, I will say much love to all of you. And have a good day. And I will see you next week. Same station, well, be an hour later. And we'll just have an awesome weekend. Stand outside and say, gosh, it's a beautiful world. With that, I will say bye-bye.